Hello, universe. Welcome to another episode of Magic the Amateuring.
Hello, parallel universe. Welcome to another episode of Cats the Cattening.
Hey, parallel universe. Welcome to another episode of Rats the Rattening.
Hey, parallel universe. Welcome to another episode of Windows the Windowing.
That is a boring ass show.
What? Windows are great.
You would listen to an hour podcast about Windows?
You would listen to an hour podcast about rats?
If it was hosted by, you know, the rat that led the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't know that he was, like, I don't know that he counts.
Why?
Because he was so, you know, he was articulate and he was, you know, a master of, you know, ninja.
What are you talking about?
I mean,
you don't think all rats are masters of ninja?
I know that that's not the correct word that I'm using right now.
Splinter. His name was Splinter.
I know what his name was.
I forgot it.
Oh. Well, that's fine. Listen.
I wanted to call him Slasher and, like, Scratcher. Not
those
right.
Those are basically the same thing.
Those are the reindeers. The names of the reindeer in, like,
in the parallel universe.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's like the Nightmare Before Christmas. Slasher and Scratcher and Splinter.
So true.
Quick question.
Yes.
What is the martial art that I'm thinking of?
Judo.
Is like, if you're a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Karate.
Like, judo is what you know, or karate is what you know? Like,
Jiu-jitsu.
What do you... You're just naming martial arts.
Prowess.
That's not a martial art.
You tell that to the Jeskai clan.
No, you're right. That's fair enough. I feel like they get prowess because they are martial artists.
You don't think that prowess is the term for this?
No, like, prowess is...
plus one, bitches.
Prowess is like a... It's like... It's an adjective already.
Yeah. So I...
And, like, I believe that it's an adjective that you could achieve through the study of martial arts.
Well, we're going to have to turn to wizards on this one out there. Let us know. Is prowess or prowess... I'm putting the emphasis on the last syllable. Prowess, the term that you have prowess when you've a good karate master?
This isn't a question that wizards would answer. This is, like, a question of the English language.
I'm just saying, in this mythical magic universe... That there is, you know, on this plane,
okay.
There so happens to be a form of karate known as prowess.
No, not a thing. Tarkir just doesn't have a martial art called prowess.
You don't know this.
I'm pretty sure that if we go back and we read Uncharted Realms, it's not going to be, and she was studying prowess. It's not going to be a thing. We still haven't answered the first and foremost question of...
What?
Like, what do the Ninja Turtles study to be ninjas? Which martial art is that?
All right. Or do they each have a different one? We'll find out by the end of the show.
Okay. We'd better, or else I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
Who was your favorite Ninja Turtle?
I feel like it's Donatello, because no one ever remembers him, and I identify with that.
In other news, send Megan a card. She needs to know you're there. In this universe...
Hold on.
What?
2 seconds.
What?
One, which Ninja Turtle do you identify with?
Michelangelo, because he ate pizza.
They all ate pizza.
But he ate it the most.
Part number two to that, yep, is that I actually do. I have this, like, intrinsic worry that people don't remember me. So, like, my first assumption when I see someone that I know is that they don't remember me.
How?
And that I
wait,
need to, like, remind them.
Like me?
No, not like you, obviously. But, you know, like, someone that you've met, like, a handful of times and you're not, like, good friends with them, but you're, like, acquaintances.
I do not I know just, this feeling.
You don't have acquaintances?
I know. I just assume that everybody knows who I am.
I have the opposite thing. Anyone that's below, like, distinct friend level, I just assume does not remember me.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is a little bit when you think about it.
People remember you.
Thank you.
Jeez, you have purple hair. Come on.
I know, but, you know, you don't know those things. You don't know those things for sure.
Uh-huh. And this is the slippery slope, ladies and gentlemen.
Self-esteem, man.
Send Megan a card.
I'm good.
But in this universe, we are Magic the Amateuring. We talk about magic ostensibly.
Yeah, absolutely. We are completely unforgettable.
Yep, that's true.
You know, very forgettable, depending on how you feel about magic and bad comedy.
So on today's episode, we're going to talk about we've talked about the pre-release. We've gone to a couple pre-TQs or PPTQs, and we're going to talk about our experiences playing Sealed.
Absolutely.
At those. We've also drafted.
Ooh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So we can tell you that.
I forgot about that.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that we're also going to tackle the ever looming question when a new Sealed format comes along of, do I play or do I draw?
Yeah.
It's a new question every time. Same words, different question.
We also had the first Standard and Modern events after the release of Oath of the Gatewatch.
Yeah.
And we can look at some of the possibly new decks that emerged.
Oh, yeah.
Or some new cards that were that were additions to decks.
Sweet.
And we've got a pretty fun flavor text theater for you coming up later because we're going to play Pick, Lick, or Flick.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Also, if you're like, hey, I would love to listen to other people try their hand at flavor text theater, mm-hmm. the sign-off of the last Constructed Resources is a great original Ravnica flavor text theater of movie pitches. So go check it out.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, all of the movies feature a main character named Marshall Cyclops.
That was my favorite part.
Yes.
Great job, Ifro. Really top-notch work.
So go check that out if you're like, hey, do you know what I need? More Magic movie pitches.
Before we start the show, I want to quickly point out that we've got some announcements here just to run down really fast.
Ooh, what are those announcements?
Announcement number one, everybody.
Okay. Numero uno.
Megan and I are writing for Daily MTG.
Yes, we are.
And that's not news. But there will be a new release of an article, which I worked on this Friday, I believe, on Daily MTG. So go over there and check it out. It's about the first Friday Night Magic after Oath of the Gatewatch has been released.
Sweet.
So I look at some new decks, some fun decks you might want to try out if you're going to FNM. Take a look. Take a gander at it this Friday, everybody. Put a lot of work into it, actually. And it nearly broke me. So read it. thing number two. In case you didn't know, we are on Tolarian Community College, and we've got video episodes of all of our podcasts up there now. Mm-hmm. We release a new episode every Tuesday in audio form, and every Friday, the professor releases one in video form channel. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's got other great videos, including Megan.
Yes.
Kitchen Table Fables.
Yes. It's a collaboration between the professor and our lovely friends over at the Command Zone.
Yeah.
It is fantastic.
It's like incredible.
So delightful. I watched all three of the ones that they've released multiple times.
They're so good.
Because I enjoyed them so much. And they're super short. They're like a minute and a half, two minutes.
And they're just really funny, short little comedy sketches.
Yeah.
Edited by a professional editor, so no big deal.
Looks great.
Looks great. Sounds great.
Really nice funny work, Josh.
Yeah, so yeah, it's amazing. Go over there, check out Kitchen Table Fables. I think you're going to like it. And of course, we do have our Patreon still up and running, and we are selling shirts on magicallyamateuring.com. Mm-hmm. Our great Good Luck High Five shirts, soon to be joined by Playmats.
Ooh.
I know. For the noobs, D or P?
I think you mean draw or play.
No, Megan, I want to know what you prefer, D or P.
I prefer pickles.
Oh, That's exactly what I was insinuating.
Yeah, you were saying dominoes or pickles, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dominoes or pickles.
And I really like a good game of dominoes.
Dominoes is great.
Yeah, but I also like a good pickle. So, like, on a hamburger, I'm, like, a big pickle fan.
I don't want any pickle anywhere near me.
You don't?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even on a burger?
No.
Not even, like, next to a sandwich?
No. If it's next to a sandwich, it's got soggy-ass pickle juice all over my sandwich or my chips, God forbid.
That is disappointing.
Get it out.
No, that's fair enough. I like pickles on burgers. I'm just going to put that out there.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Draw or play is what we really meant. In draft, of course, the answer is you want to be on the play.
Yes. And in, you know, for the most part, in Constructed, it's...
Yeah.
You're basically always on the play. The one time when this ever really, I think, comes to a point of debate is in any new sealed format. Because there have been sealed formats in the past where people have very adamantly believed that you should probably choose to be on the draw because you just get a little, you know, incremental card advantage that way. And the format is slow enough and grindy enough that it's better to have the card than to have the little bit of tempo that being on the play grants you.
So the reason that most people like being on the play when they're playing draft or mm-hmm. playing in constructed is because the win percentage is actually higher if you choose to be on the play.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember how much what percentage higher yeah. it is, but it is
not monumental,
but
incremental.
But, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, in a lot of formats, the tempo is a little bit more of an advantage than sure. the card.
Sure.
You have a very linear strategy in constructed formats. You know, like whatever your deck is doing, you know what your GD plan is.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to execute your plan.
Correct.
Whereas in sealed, you know, it's a little bit more of a nuanced business negotiation. between you and your deck and your opponent and your yeah. opponent's deck.
Yeah.
Everyone's sitting down at the table and everyone's like, hey, what are we bringing to this game? You know, there's a lot of wild cards here. So there you go.
Yeah. Megan, this format, which we're in right now, Oath of the Gatewatch.
Yeah.
Now is the time we need to decide. Are we going to be play people or are we going to be draw people?
Well, I can let you know that right now, over this past weekend, and two PPTQs, I think I got to choose once.
You are not good at rolling dice.
No, for the beginning one. I mean, for the initial one, because I think I won one die roll,
Megan,
across 11 rounds.
How is that statistically possible?
I mean, it happens. You know, that's the way it shakes out.
True.
It's 50% every time, and like 10 out of 11 times, I was on the losing end of that. Statistics are a fun and interesting thing, you know.
They're
a monster.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, do you know what? At the same time, I hadn't made up my mind yet, so part of me was like a little bit appreciative. I was just like, all right,
yeah,
you know, like let's. And do you know what? And I was gonna say the interesting thing is that I think that my opponents were split. Like,
oh, really?
I did not hear one thing across the board.
You did.
I think it was skewed slightly more towards play. But I definitely had some people choose to draw.
What is your feeling after playing two sealed events?
You know,
not counting the pre-release.
Yeah, I think when I was offered the chance, I chose to play.
Yep.
I don't know that I was correct.
Really? Why do you say that?
Because I felt that a lot of times, when I lost, that's not true. I felt like about 50% of the time that I lost, it was due to card advantage. And 50% of the time that I lost, it was due to tempo.
Huh, interesting.
That being said, the tempo games, I never felt like I had a chance of winning.
Yeah, I understand that.
Because I built some very grindy, very slow decks. And then people, like when I got tempoed, it got tempoed hard.
Right.
Whereas the ones where I lost to card advantage, I very much would have, you know, it was coming down to each of us top decking.
Yeah.
And in that case, being one card deeper into your deck is, you know,
makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference.
So normally if you choose to be on the draw in sealed and your deck likes it, you're going to have a deck that's probably more controlling, that probably, you know, feels like it can lock up the game early and stop any offense from your opponent if they're playing a very fast deck, and you think card advantage is more important to you than trying to get out ahead because you're looking to win the long game. And if you choose to play, it's because your deck is very aggressive and you want to get in as much damage as humanly possible before your opponent can put the brakes on and stop you.
It's not necessarily always an aggressive deck thing to want to be on the play, because, you know, like in a constructed format,
yeah.
A control deck will still choose to be on the play.
Why?
As opposed to on the draw, just because
they want to. Question.
Yes.
Is it because they want to steal the advantage from their opponent who may be playing aggressively?
Well, that definitely is part of it. You know, if I'm playing, for instance, red green ramp, and my opponent is playing an unknown deck, like I'm going to feel like the biggest ass hat.
Yeah.
If I'm like, oh, I'll draw, and then they're playing a Tarka red, and I'm just like, well, like, oh shit.
Just kidding.
I really, really shouldn't have chosen.
Yeah, I feel you.
I think that's definitely a huge consideration.
Yeah.
And then there's also, again, strategies that I think are a lot more linear and constructed. And usually they have some version of either a, like Atarka Red definitely wants to take advantage. They want to be on the play, right? They're just trying to, again, get in as much damage. But other decks have built-in card advantage, so they're not worried so much about drawing one more extra card, because it's like in Red Green Ramp, it's like, oh, I'm going to get my Sanctum of Eugene into play, and I'm going to be able to, you know, like once I cast a big Eldrazi, I'll just be able to go like sack it and go find another one.
Right.
And I'm getting my card advantage that way. Obviously, any variation on blue is going to just be drawing cards in one way or another. Abzan has just a lot of value cards like Sea Drynos and Wingmate Rocks, which just give them, you know, which are single cards.
Card advantage is in the card. Yeah.
In there. So it's less of a concern, whereas in Sealed, you know, you usually don't have access to as many of those types of effects.
True. So you're at 50-50. You still don't know where you fall on player draw in this sealed format.
I really don't know yet, because I do think that the slightly more tempo and slightly more aggressive strategies right now are stronger than I gave them credit for.
Sure.
So I think that that's a very real and palpable threat. That being said, it is still part of the BFZ block, and there are still some like giant creatures out there.
Yeah.
And there are still some really grindy games where that card's going to matter.
So, I don't know. I'm a scaredy cat. I want to be on the play.
Yeah.
I'm just too nervous, I think.
And I definitely feel like when I choose to play, I am playing scared.
I'm playing scared.
Yeah.
Didn't your mama never tell you to not play scared?
Yeah. I do feel like 2-2 for 2 in this format are a little bit better than their counterparts in BFC, in triple BFC were. And that's, you know, that's definitely a factor.
Yeah, so that's something to consider when you're playing Sealed, if you're at a pre-release, or if you're trying to grind something out at a PPTQ, or just a... why are you laughing
at me? I was just chuckling at the phrase, grind something out, all right? Look, I'm sorry. Sometimes I have the mind of a 12-year-old. It was funny. What can I say?
It's always important to remember
to grind something out.
To grind something out.
When you can. When and where you can.
You don't want to backpile that.
No.
Mm-mm.
Real quick note, I do want to mention that I feel like it might be one consideration in this format for drawing would perhaps be that mana bases are a little bit wonkier with colorless being introduced here as its own distinct casting cost. Because in sets where you have stricter mana requirements.
So cons, did you choose to be on the draw?
I think cons was a draw format.
Man, I can't remember. I've already put it out of my brain.
I know, right? Which is so sick, because I love triple cons. Like, I don't think Fate and Dragons change. I think Fate and Dragons were both play sets. But I think triple cons was a draw.
Yeah, so this is something to keep your eyes out for, you know.
Because a lot of times it's like, oh, you build a 2-color deck, but it's like, actually, it's kind of a 3-color deck because you might have some colorless activated costs or even some colorless casting cost creatures in there. And being on the draw will get you one card further towards having your ideal mana base.
You know, we're going to talk about sealed as it pertains to PPTQs in a second. But honestly, I saw so many, quote unquote, 3-color decks as well as 4-color decks running around.
I played one of those mofos.
Oh, yeah? 4-color?
Mm-hmm. On Sunday.
Girl.
Got real greedy.
PPTQs.
That's right. We headed out not just to one, but in my case, two PPTQs
this weekend.
Megan,
you really ground one out this weekend.
I really ground two of them out, Maria. You have to get that action while it's available.
That's true. And when a new set comes out, there's lots of that action going around.
There really is. And I'm going to Vancouver this weekend.
Yep.
So one, if you're going to be at GP Vancouver, please... come and say hi. I love meeting people. And Maria, unfortunately, won't be there. But
sorry, guys.
I'm happy to try and impersonate her.
Okay, Megan.
If you'd like.
On the count of three, do your best impression of me. 1, 2, 3.
A cat.
Fail. I give you an F. That's an F.
Do you know what? I'm just saying that I'll try, okay?
Okay.
I'm not saying that I'll do well. I'm saying that I'll try. So, I wanted to get in a lot of practice before the GP So that was a part of my plan.
If you come up and say hi to Megan, she'll give you a prize.
That is true.
It'll probably a secret prize.
Never mind. I won't say what it was probably going to be. I was about to say it, but I won't anymore.
No, it's a secret prize.
It is a secret prize.
And have her sign some Siege Rhino. She loves that card.
Yeah, everyone knows how much I love Siege Rhino.
Yep. Anyway, you got to practice because you're going to throw down and you're going to make day two of this GP.
I mean, that's the Boom. Goal. Isn't that everybody's goal?
I'm going to be texting you. And if you don't make day two, I'm going to be like, I disown you.
Maria, you can't text me. It's international texting rates.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I can Facebook message you.
Yeah, just Facebook message me. I'll go find a Starbucks and check my email.
Okay.
Check my Facebook.
Yeah, I got home from Canada once to a great number of international texting fees.
No, you have to tell people. You have to be like, dude, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's like 10 cents. It's more than that. It's like 50
cents.
It's like
50 cents a text.
A text. Is that text worth 50 cents to you?
It's different incoming and outgoing. No. I think it's incoming, it's like 30. Yeah, and outgoing, you're right. 50.
Mm-hmm. Whoever knew that me texting ye would be worth 50 cents?
I'll text you over the course of the weekend. I'll text you ye once.
Okay.
And you'll know that that's like a 50 cent ye. That'll be great. It'll be perfect.
Okay. So PPTQ.
Yes.
What happened? I can tell you the story of mine. I went to one.
Yes.
And if you are a listener of the show, which you are since you're listening, if you remember playing Battle for Zendikar PPTQs, of which I did a couple, I just failed miserably at Battle for Zendikar. I did terribly. And such was the case again with Oath. I played in one and I did not win, get this, a single game.
Oof.
The whole day. And this was kind of surprising to me because both pre-releases I went 3-1 and I felt pretty good. And I was like, hey, this isn't so bad. And then I'm like, maybe that was just a slump I was in. I go to this PPTQ. It's so like, my deck was not good. I think I know when I have a bad deck because I made three different decks out of my sealed pool and I played them all throughout the day because I was just like, okay, maybe I misbuilt this. Play a different build. No good. Play a different build. No good. Three different iterations all sucked. But when I find myself building like a green-black deck, that's when I usually feel like I've hit rock bottom.
You don't like green-black?
No, I don't have a problem with it. But for whatever reason, when I feel like my pool is so shitty, I'm just like, what can I play? Like the answer is usually green-black because black has any removal if you have any.
Yeah.
And green just has dudes.
Yeah, that's
true. And sometimes if you have a lot of blue,
removal and dudes will get there.
Like you just don't have dudes. You've just got spells. And you're like, what am I supposed to do with this? So then like you just end up playing green-black and your deck's just a pile. And that's what mine was.
I'm sorry.
It was a beating.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not what's going to happen to me the rest of the format. Maybe it was just a fluke. We'll find out. I plan to play another pre-release on Sunday. So we'll see how that goes. Megan.
So I, like going back, so my experience with BFC was a little bit different. I definitely started out in a slump with BFC. But a couple of weeks in, all of a sudden, I was just like, wait a second. Yeah. I am fucking rocking this. Like at some point it just super clicked for me. I had an absurd string of, you can go, like we posted some draft videos and like an absurd string of drafts on Magic Online. But then I feel like, so I'm a little bit worried, like Khans of Tarkir, I had the same thing, like triple Khans. I was like rocking it. And then like Dragons and Fate, I could just never get my feet back under me. BFC rocking it, and, OGW, which I always think of Original Gangsta Watch. Anyways, is like, so far is proving a little bit tricky.
You know, do you think it has to do with the trickiness of the mana base? Do you think it has to do with not knowing quite if you should be a fast aggressive deck is viable or if you need to be more controlling?
I think so far. So on Saturday, I went 1-2-2.
Wow.
So that's two draws.
Megan.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And part of the problem was that, and I've done this before, when we did our draft this past week with some friends, I had the same thing. Like, no win cons.
Yeah.
Like, I had an Endbringer, but that is so slow and so
and it's one
grindy.
Card.
Yes. Also, I almost won. Oh my god. He killed me on turn 5, but I almost won the match 1-0 in games. Like, Megan. I won the first game, and we almost didn't finish the second one, and he managed to kill me on turn five of the second game to tie it up so that we drew the round.
Sometimes I make fun of Megan for being a slow player, but I legitimately do think... Now, this is where we decided we were going to have a fight.
Yeah.
I legitimately do think that this format can be really slow and grindy. Yeah. And the reason I point to is that it's not that I don't think you're going to have a fast deck, because I was wrecked by a fast deck in Sealed.
Yeah.
But also... We played our draft, and we were sitting there some of those rounds. I don't know how long they took.
I think we started at like 8 o'clock, and we got over past midnight.
Past midnight, and we were not even done. We were not done, like, actually done with our game. We were just like, oh, scoop. So, like, I think there is a, there is the potential for those black-white ally decks to either come at you fast or to be very, very slow. Like, they have 4 toughness on their butt, that 3 drop, that taps.
Yeah.
And 4 toughness in this format, that's where it's at. Because a lot of the aggressive red cards have 3 power.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do?
I do feel like, and this is where we disagree slightly, because I do think that it is faster than BFC, at least in my opinion. And I'm not saying that it's, you know, across the board, every color pairing is faster. But I do feel like there is a place for, like specifically, like I got tempoed by red-blue. I got tempoed by red-green.
Hmm.
I got tempoed by red black.
How did you get tempoed by red blue?
Red blue. I just got a lot of sweep away.
Oh yeah, sweep away. That card's legit. Away
and like a bunch of flyers. It was just like flyer, like sweep away. Like I try and race them, and it's like sweep away your guys.
Well, red blue tempo deck is probably my favorite kind of deck to play. So that makes me excited.
Yeah, the point is that it's not necessarily that they were super aggro and very fast, but they were a little bit more mid-rangey, but they were very successful. I was playing against these decks a lot of time, like the a red-green one in the 2-0 bracket.
Hmm.
Those were both, like, the red-green and the red-blue both made top 8.
Huh. Wow.
And I think the red-black one was on the cusp for making top 8.
Interesting.
And so they were actually viable strategies, whereas I feel like at least I got very accustomed in BFC to being able to know that I was going to be able to sort of stabilize myself against those decks.
Sure, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe the 4 toughness thing is just something that's just hitting me in the brain. Just like, I can just see myself putting together a sick red-black deck, and then it's all these dumb little 2/4s sitting there tapping my dudes down or sitting there with their big butts waving their butts in the air, and I'm just like, all I want to do is punch you in the face, and like, oh, well, check out my butt. Which is also what my Friday nights are like. Anyway.
I can't even... There's nothing I can say about that. Okay. I mean, yeah. Sure. All right.
I don't know. I'm kind of interested to hear what people think about this.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a thought or an opinion on whether you think that the format has slowed down or sped up since BFC, absolutely let us know. Saturday, I built, I think, kind of like a blue-black with a touch of colorless control deck that, again, just, like, didn't have enough win conditions to get there a lot of the time. I also got Ulamogged round 1, which just wrecked me. And then I got Kozilek'd round 2.
This sounds like a slow format deck in Castles Eldrazi.
I was giving them the time is what I'm saying. That I gave them the time to cast those cards. Whereas I think against, I don't know that they necessarily, against a more tempo-y deck than mine, would have had the resources to survive.
Yeah, interesting.
To cast those cards.
And then you played on Sunday. Megan, I gotta say something.
What?
You sound like a grinder.
Do you know what? At least for one weekend I was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to a GP for a second weekend in a row. So at least right now, living up this lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's the end of January. What else is there to do?
Grinder life. Here in Minnesota, nothing. You can either go outside and die of exposure, or you can play Magic.
Those are your two options. That's your two goddamn options.
Honestly.
So let's see. What deck did I build yesterday? Yesterday I built a...
That was yesterday? I'm going to throw up.
A black-white control deck.
Yeah.
That, again, was just like a little short on win conditions. Theme. That's a theme for me.
All right.
Apparently.
Somebody put a win con in Megan's pre-release. PPTQ packs, please.
I went 3-3, which was slightly better. And I started out 2-0 before getting just wrecked by this red-green deck.
Yeah. Why was it so good?
It just... like sort of everything that it did applied pressure. And again, had lots of like disruption. It had lots of like.
That's how I conduct a good interrogation.
Lots apply, of disruption.
Apply pressure, and then disruption.
I feel that's really creepy and sinister.
You're right. It's technically illegal.
Maria, what kind of illegal interrogations are you conducting?
Megan, tell me more about this deck.
Okay. What if I don't?
Let's just say I've got a few tricks up my sleeve.
So, anyways, this red-green deck, It just had a lot of really good uncommons.
Stop being
rares.
Scared. Stop being scared.
I'm not scared. Yeah, just sort of applied, some really solid pressure. And then it either removed my creatures with burn spells or I got Rolling Thundered for 8 once.
Well, that always feels good.
That really was something. So, yeah. And I think, again, it was just a little bit, my deck was just a little bit short on win conditions. It had a lot of excellent kill spells. So that was something.
You know, I want you to
a creature.
Tell me right now, what's your like common, you know, regular all-star that you've been seeing that you...
Oblivion Strike, 100%.
Well, Oblivion Strike, that card is gray A top choice meat.
It's a common.
And it's... Yeah, you're right. It is a common.
It is great. It is it
kills
is
anything.
Just fantastic. 4 mana, kill whatever you feel like.
Did you play an Ulamog? Oh, wait, just kidding. I killed it.
Oblivion Strike.
Sweep Away, great. We mentioned before, is a very
good
card.
Really good. I've been... usually it's sort of like... bounce spells, right? You never quite feel like sometimes they're really good in some format or in some strategies or in some formats.
Well, like in Theros, bounce exactly. Was insanely good.
But like Sweep Away, especially when they're like if they're trying to race by attacking you, the fact that it puts it on top of their deck is just sort of like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, goodbye.
Like, that's really hard to come back from if you're racing.
It super is. And I had somebody at the pre-release ask me, why is this a good card? And the answer is, well, number one, you should always cast it only if you're being attacked. Like, you don't really want to cast... I mean, you can cast it
I
on
think
something,
if they,
but...
In my opinion, like, if they play around it by not attacking you for a turn and you've left the mana open at their end step, I think you bounce.
You might as well.
Yeah.
So the reason that it's good, especially if you can put it on top, is because it sets them back so much, especially if you bounce something big, and double especially if they cast something using some scions to ramp into that mana, since you're going to take that mana back away from them. They won't have it and won't be able to cast it the next turn. You've also stolen a draw step from them because they have to draw that creature again and play it again.
I steal your draw step.
I took it.
And
a draw step
is
like,
just,
how much
really
would you
good.
Pay for a draw step?
How much would I pay for a draw step?
How much life would you pay for an additional draw step?
Oh my god. Wait, are we talking about like take an extra turn or just like draw another card?
Great question.
Or like take away your opponent's draw step.
This is what it is. It's at the beginning of your draw step, you have another draw step. So you draw another card.
So I just draw a card.
You draw two cards.
How much life would I pay?
To do that every turn. Like, every turn, like, it asks you, how much would you pay?
How much life am I at?
You're at 20.
I mean, and do I have to commit to drawing that card every time?
Yes.
2.
You want it cheap. I see. You want your cake and you want to eat it too.
Well, I'm just saying, if I have to draw it, if I have to do it every single time, at three life every additional turn, like, that kills me quick.
I want that card printed. That's kind of a cool idea. It's kind of like
an
Bob.
Enchantment?
Yeah, but it's got to be worse than Bob, obviously, because Bob's straight broken, which is... So it's got to be like, which is, like, four life? That's really risky.
No, God, that's way too much. The fact, what makes Dark Confidant so good is that a lot of the time what you're flipping is lands.
Yeah.
And that you know, it
I'm
usually
just saying,
goes
if
in,
we're printing this and it's not going to be broken, what are we printing?
Oh, God.
It's an enchantment.
It's an enchantment. I think it should be a creature if you want it to not be broken.
Okay, it's a creature.
Because then it can be removed by your opponent with, you know, a little bit more average.
And like
types
at the
of
beginning
removal.
Of your draw step, draw an additional card and lose 4 life.
4? Is it and it's a you must, it's not a you may?
Yes.
How much does the creature cost?
2.
I I don't know, man. I think four is too much. Four okay. is way too much.
Okay. I just want to see what's the threshold of not being absurdly broken. And
I think it's two.
Okay.
Like, two is still... I mean, you get 10. 10 is a lot of turns and a lot of cards. God, 2.5?
Okay. You lose 2.5 life. You lose 2.5 life. It's like 2.5 life. So you lose half of your human life, just like Princess Bride, like when they took his life away.
Three life if it's a May.
Oh.
Like you May.
That is way too good. Like that is way too good.
It's a creature. It can be removed.
Okay.
Pay three life. You may pay three life.
Megan and I are contestants on the next great designer search.
Which we're conducting right here on the show right now.
Which we will never actually be selected for if they were to ever do it again.
Oh my God, no.
Because they know we would just design Huey Lewis in the news set.
Huey Lewis in the news set. Well, that would be your set and mine would be the breakfast set.
Oh yeah, yours is the waffle set.
Mine is the waffle set.
Anyway, we got really off topic there, but I like designing cards from time to time.
Really good. Sweep Away, I mean, Sweep Away is just a really... I mean, yeah, that card is quality.
Play with it. If you're wondering about it, which some new players do, because if I was a new player, I would not understand why that card was any good.
Yeah.
Play with it and you'll see why it is.
Absolutely.
That's really what you got to do. I didn't used to know why Dark Confidant was any good, aka Bob. I played with it in one game and I was like, oh, yeah. I understand.
Quite good.
So there you go. Good.
Did you have any cards that impressed you on Saturday?
Sure. Well, there's this one that impressed me in draft more than in sealed, but it's a 1/4 vampire.
Oh, yeah. I do think that Vampire Envoy is quite a bit better than you would usually think of a 1/4 flyer for 3.
When it taps...
You gain a life.
You gain a life, and it drains a life.
Yeah.
So?
No, it doesn't drain.
You only gain?
It's only a gain.
Oh. I need to look them up.
You can look it up, but I am correct.
You did have this card, didn't you?
But yeah, but it's great because also you can use it for all the cohort abilities, and then you're just, because it's anytime that it becomes tapped.
Oh yeah, it is just gain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, this card's just, I mean, it costs 2 and a black for a 1/4 flyer. Whenever it becomes tapped, you gain a life. And there's a lot of cards that synergize with something, with either you gaining life, or like, what's the synergy? That land that you can tap for mana. And then you, tap a creature for mana.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then this becomes, you get a mana and a settlement. Life. Hold out settlement, yeah. So, anyway, I think that card's good.
I really like Kozilek's Translator. Very good. That's the one, the 3/5 for 5 that you can once a turn pay a life and add a colorless. And you can do that on their turn also. So you can do it once on your turn and once on your opponent's turn, which is
the card
sweet.
Is a brick wall.
It is, yeah, a 3/5. I was very happy with 3/5s in this format. I will say that.
Yeah.
I felt like a 3/5 for fly, a 3/5 for 5. I was like, I'll play this all day.
I know. Funny. Seems like a very slow card. Anyway. Moving on.
I feel like you're pushing an agenda here. I feel like you have an agenda and you're pushing it.
Yeah, that's probably true. Standard and Modern Corner.
Just a standard modern corner. So there was an SCG Open this past weekend.
Yeah.
Where we got to see some sweet, sick new brews.
Sort of.
Well, no, that's true. you know, we got to see some slightly retooled brews.
After Oath of the Gatewatch.
After Oath of the Gatewatch.
I'm sure this weekend there will be even more new brews out there.
That is true.
It was kind of hard to find some cards.
Although this is a big limited weekend.
It is a limited weekend. But
not at Star City, but for the GP circuit.
So the deck that came in first place was one that is not going to be a stranger. It's a Tarka Red.
Go F yourself, a Tarka Red.
With no new cards, I don't
think. A Tarka Red.
I gotta check. Yeah. Nope.
Yep.
And then, but in second place was
a mono green Eldrazi deck.
Yeah, by Chris Brickley.
Yes, which I was very interested to see that. One of the things that I personally am very excited for, having played Red Green Ramp for a couple of months now, is Kozilek's Return.
Yeah.
So, I mean, mono green. Obviously, he did excellently with it. But, you know, for me, I was you like, want, wait a second. Yeah. I want red in there still so that we can deal two to everything and then deal five to everything.
And I think LSV has a build of this very similar, which was on Daily MTG, which did include Kozilek's Return in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this deck got second place. It's really cool. It just plays a lot of ramp, including explosive vegetation, which you only play if you're being serious about your ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got huge planeswalkers. I mean, not planeswalkers. Eldrazi, Ulamog.
You do have huge planeswalkers. This Kozilek. Plays Eugene, right?
And Eugene, yep.
Yep.
It also plays Thotnot Seer, which is kind of like the all-star new card coming out of Oath of the Gatewatch.
Do you know what? I also have to say that in Limited, that card wrecked me.
That card's insane, period.
Yeah, it was just so good. It's like, oh, you took my best card, and you also just got a 4-4 for 4.
Yeah.
Like, I had an opponent who, 2 games in a row, played that against me on turn 4, and I was just like, this is miserable. This game. This is completely miserable.
Yeah, so this card, keep your eye out for it. I mean, everybody's saying it's the new hotness, you guys.
Absolutely. It is very good.
The rest of these decks were not anything, you know, particularly new. Jeskai Black, Abzan Company, Prowess.
Yeah, I've heard some talk of adding Reflector Mage to but 4-color Rally.
Yeah, I can see that.
Bounce some things, make your opponent unable to cast them even next turn. There was an interesting question today.
Yep.
Where was it? Was it on Reddit where people were asking about Reflector Mage and Morph? Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just as a quick question, if you were wondering, if a Reflector Mage bounces a Morph, can the opponent replay it? And it's like, yes, morphs have no name.
Morphs. Well, I came to this town on a morph with no name.
Same goes if you, say, play a Reflector Mage and bounce their Den Protector. Don't do it. That card is Value Town. And they can recast it face down because, again, when you're casting it, the spell is seen as having no name.
Right. There was also a Modern tournament.
Yes, there was.
And people were especially interested in this because of the recent bans. So you're not going to see Splinter Twin on this list. You're not going to see
Amulet Bloom.
Amulet Bloom. We've got Jeskai Control coming in first.
Mm-hmm.
Teemer Delver was up. Yeah. Was also says first.
And then there's there's Grixis Control up there.
Yep.
So we know that Red Blue. We have not seen the end of it, by a long shot, friends.
So we had events simultaneously, Columbus and Atlanta.
Gotcha.
Merfolk. A lot of Merfolk up here. Mm. Megan, does that make you happy? You've been playing with the Professor's Merfolk deck.
Do you know what? We talked about this. I am not a natural Merfolk player.
No, I see that.
Maria, do you know what deck I'm in love with?
I don't want to hear about it again.
Maria, do you know what deck I'm in love with?
It's Lantern Control, and it I don't want to hear about control. It. That deck is an abomination.
It is the most beautiful thing ever made.
Megan,
it is amazing.
How can you like that deck?
I have not been this in love with the deck since Sphinx's Revelation.
This is the second time you said that on the show.
And it's so true. That's like, I just need to keep saying it because it's that true. When
do I
something
need to
is
get a wedding
true,
present?
You shout it from the rooftops.
Get a room.
I love it. It's amazing.
Ugh. Well,
it's
thank
so
God that deck's not on this top
it's
whatever
so
list I'm
good.
Looking at 16.
Oh, it's so amazing.
Notably, Affinity's
because
in
I feel
here.
Like a lot of people have like a gentleman's agreement not to play it.
Well, yeah, because it's terrible. People get mad at you online, and I'm like, yes, they should not be salty to you, but I understand their anger. It's so just like...
To be fair, no one's been super angry. The only comment that I've gotten so far was, like, after I 2-0'd a dude, and a person, and they were like, 10 out of 10 worst deck in Modern.
And I'm like, yes, agree.
10 out of 10 best deck in Modern.
Because you just have to sit there and wait for yourself to die.
You're or you like, can just concede.
You're
you
watching
don't have to sit
your
there.
Own death.
You don't have to sit there. You can just scoop. Like, I'm never going to let you draw anything again.
Oh, anyway, we've got our eyes peeled, which is the most disgusting saying in the English language.
It's pretty gross.
For what's coming up in
it
Standard.
It really is gross.
And in Modern.
Anyways.
In the future, I wrote about it a little bit in my article on Friday, so watch out for that. But yeah, I'm interested to see what new decks come out. I'm really hoping for that Eldrazi deck in some iteration to happen in Standard. We'll see if it does.
Yeah.
Well, it ladies and germs, it's time for a fan favorite game, pick, lick, or flick.
Absolutely.
We had a bit of a snafu in playing this week, as I thought I had an Oath of the Gatewatch pack handy.
No.
Turns out I do not.
Being the degenerate drafters that we are.
We drafted them all already.
We were just too eager to get our hands on some sweet Oath of the Gatewatch draft action.
I know, and tomorrow we've got store draft, Megan.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I love the first draft at our LGS after a new set comes out.
It's great.
One of my favorite times. Anyway, so what we did is we pulled up a pack which was randomly generated online. Yes. So we've got this here, and we're going to play this way. We're just going down the row. Straight down. We normally randomize our pick, licks, or flicks, and so this gives us a little bit of randomization if we just go straight down the way it's displayed for us.
Oh, duh! If you're a ninja, you're trained in ninjutsu.
I still have to figure out what the turtles are, though.
What? They're turtles.
I mean, so they're trained in ninjutsu.
Yeah.
Okay.
The end.
All right, great.
That makes sense. I mean, I'm sure people...
We're just like screaming at us.
I can only imagine. Yeah, the people at the beginning of the episode were like, obviously the fucking word ninja comes from ninjutsu.
We've been screamed at more probably through a radio or an iPod than anyway.
Well, pick, lick, or flick.
These are our three options for the first PLF.
Yeah.
Thought Not Seer, spicy.
Ooh, yum, as we've already talked about.
Core Scythe Master.
Okay.
That's a 3-1 and has first strike when it's attacking.
Yep, for 2 and a white.
Zada's Commando, which is a 2-1 with first strike. You can tap it, and it deals damage to target opponent with an ally cohort.
I mean, I think we both know. We pick Thought Not Seer.
Oh, Thought Not's the pick all day.
It is the pick all day.
The question is what's the lick? I don't know. I don't want to lick that goblin.
No, I think I definitely want to lick that core.
That's what my trainer said to me at the gym.
I want to lick that core.
That's why I quit.
That would be a really reasonable...
Very creepy.
Yeah, that would be a very reasonable reason.
Yeah, I'm
to,
definitely licking the core. That Zada's Commando, despite the fact that he is an archer, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can't deal with that goblin.
He's an archer?
Yeah, see, goblin archer ally.
Oh, wait. Move your head. Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and actually, Zada's Commando... First strike, which I conveniently forgot about on like three different occasions at that PPTQ.
Oh, it's very relevant.
It's super relevant.
There's a lot of 2-2s and 3-2s.
I threw so many guys away to that card. I also forgot that Goblin Dark Dwellers has Menace about 5 times. And my opponent, every time I was like, block, and he's like, Menace. And my like the last time I had forgotten, he's just like, Menace. It was so sad. I'm old. Okay. Reflector Mage.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kozilek Translator.
Uh-huh.
Comparative Analysis.
I mean, I think, again, it's pretty clear what we're picking here.
We're taking...
That Reflector Mage.
Reflector Mage. Mm. Even... But what pack one, pick one are you taking Reflector Mage over Translator? Say that every other card in the pack sucks.
Besides Reflector Mage and Translator?
Yeah.
I still think I take Reflector Mage.
All right. Going for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's got so much upside if you end up blue-white. It's so good.
I mean, are you going to lick that translator, though?
Oh, it's so pretty.
Look at its sloopy little legs.
I mean, I'm going to lick that translator before I lick Jace any day.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jace, stop being so emo.
You're such a whiny. You're such a whiny little tween.
Void Shatter, Netcaster Spider, Pulse of Murasa.
Ooh.
Wow.
I think here, for me at least, as much as I love a good counterspell.
What?
I think the pick is Netcaster Spider.
I think Netcaster has overperformed for me, at least in Sealed, which is a format we know is about flyers, and Netcaster Spider has been pretty good.
It's just OP, man, when it comes to blocking flyers. It blocks them all day.
Yeah, and Void Shatter is just a cancel that exiles.
I mean, I like a good counterspell.
You would.
Question is, what are you licking?
Definitely going to lick Pulse of Murasa because that sounds sexy.
Really?
Void Shatter?
I'm going to lick that Void Shatter. Look at it. It looks like fireworks. Not that I condone licking fireworks, because that sounds like a bad idea all the way around.
Sure does.
But that's still my lick. I mean, it's real pretty. Ugh. That's right. Not to say, like, I would also lick Pulse of Murasa. It looks pretty cool. But yeah. Between the two of them, I'm licking the fireworks.
Birthing Hulk, Spawnbinder Mage, Saddleback Lagak.
Oh.
Cutest card. Yeah. Alert.
Also, worst name alert, Birthing Hulk. Like, every time I read it, I'm just like, no.
It's so gross.
That's a terrible name for a card.
Can you imagine the Hulk giving birth?
No. And I don't want to. Stop that. I mean, you really need to stop that.
Hulk is always wearing little bitty shorts, not when he's giving birth.
Ugh, Maria, I want to stop this conversation right now. I really want it to just end.
Give me epidural.
I want it to just end.
Okay.
I think that the pick, though, is Birthing Hulk.
Birthing Hulk, I believe, is
seven
the
is
pick,
a lot.
But it's only a five.
But you get three scions, right?
Two.
I mean, that's still seven power.
And then one in a colorless regenerate.
I mean, and that's pretty relevant.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's how... I've got to see how good this is in draft before I answer that.
That's totally fair.
I'm obviously licking the Lagak, because...
It's so cute.
Cutest card.
It's so cute.
Sorry, Spawnbinder Mage.
I mean, which usually would get a lick, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it's an attractive lady, and she's got some sweet, like gear on.
Yeah, I mean, she just looks like... What I like about her is she just seems like she's got her shit under control.
Yeah, that's very true.
She's just sort of like, mm-hmm. Do you know what? I know what I'm doing here.
She's the one I've been talking about, which is 2/4 and tap her. So it's Spawnbinder Mage. Okay.
I was underwhelmed, honestly, really? By the card. Yeah.
Man, she just annoyed me.
Like, tapping two creatures to tap one is sort of like, you need to have, board presence advantage over them already.
You do.
For that to be worthwhile.
Yeah, I think this is the kind of game that I don't want to play, which is messing around and just tapping all of my opponent's dudes forever and playing grindy games. It's not my style, but I mean, I guess some people are really into that and just putting up big walls and then, like, tapping everybody and just... not winning ever. Okay. finally, we have Maw of Kozilek, which is the 2/5. And then Eldrazi Aggressor, which has haste as long as you control another colorless creature and a forest.
I'm definitely picking the Maw here.
Maw of Kozilek is an amazing card.
It's really, it's just very good.
For colorless, you can pump it +2/-2 until end of turn.
You know, my opponents, even when they didn't have colorless out, it's just like, it's so hard to block.
Yep, it absolutely is.
And it's so hard to attack into. Like, either one that you're doing, I didn't play red in either of my events, and every time someone played red and played that card, I was just like shit! Ugh.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
it's a real groaner.
This is the worst.
And you know something? Say they don't have anybody down, you can attack them for 6 if you have 2 waste out.
I mean, that's a lot of wastes, but
I
get what you're saying.
It is, but I mean, the potential is there.
It totally is.
It's a 4-drop, it's not a 5-drop, which
it certainly isn't.
Like. Eldrazi Aggressor really comes at you out of nowhere, so be aware.
Yeah, but it's a 2/3, which I'm underwhelmed with.
Who cares? It should be a 3/2.
It should be a 3/2. I agree with that ability.
And this forest is amazing. Of course.
Although the art on that aggressor is also pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. Kozilek's Translator, I love the art. I love the art on Thoughtknot Seer.
Yeah. I'm going to lick that forest, though.
That forest is great. Yeah, I'll lick that forest, too.
I'll lick a tree any day.
So in college, I had a radio show and we had to play like little PSAs as breaks. And one of the PSAs was like, plant a tree for your tomorrow, plant a tree. And the end of it was like, plant a tree for all the world to share. And I was always like, ugh, and it would get in my head for days. I still remember the tune, obviously.
Yeah, that's incredible,
so you just said,
actually.
Lick a tree. And I was just like, oh my God. And it sent me back to college. I had a bluegrass radio show.
For your tomorrow,
lick a tree.
Yep.
Anyway, it was the bluegrass radio show.
Anyways,
it was great. Anyway, I love the new art. Kozilek's Brood are very pretty.
Yeah, I agree.
Rainbow connection.
Less sloopy than
more
Ulamog.
Rainbowy. Thoughtknot Seer is not sloopy at all.
No,
it's crusty. Really.
Oh, that's not an improvement.
Crusty.
Let it never be said that crusty is an improvement over sloopy.
Megan, when you're old, would you rather be crusty or sloopy?
Sloopy.
Really? You.
What? What's gross about being sloopy?
You're going to be all sweaty and slooping your sludge all over everything.
I feel like if I'm sloopy, though, I'm still, like, mobile and flexible, and that's what I would care about. Like, yeah. I would way rather be, like, a mobile oldie.
Megan's gone. She's gone. We've lost her.
I just feel like really conflicted about having said the phrase mobile oldie.
Well, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for viewing / listening to our face holes. And you know mm-hmm. what? Come back again next week because we're going to be here and Megan's going to tell us all about GP Vancouver.
Absolutely, I will, unless I choose to keep it a secret.
How
in which case,
could you?
Go fuck yourself.
Megan, don't do it to us.
No, I'll probably tell you about it.
Okay,
I'll tell you.
Good. And I will tell you all about what I do, which is probably going to be knitting.
What? And you're going to go to a PPTQ?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll knit at that PPTQ.
Fair enough.
You wait and see. Last time I went to that PPTQ at that store, Air Traffic, in Maple Grove, I came home with a rubber chicken. So,
oh, that's right.
We'll see what happens this time.
Who knows?
Yeah, so like we said before, check out this video version of this podcast on Tulare Community College on Friday. It's going to be there in all its glory, as well as all the professors' other videos and those new ones from the Command Zone, which are very funny. And Megan, you wrote a script or helped write a script for
an upcoming office hours, but it's not posted yet.
Okay,
so we will let you know when it's posted. I very much enjoyed writing it.
Yeah, it's going to be really funny.
So it's going to be great.
I've seen some pictures from it, you guys. Get hyped.
It's sweet.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, Patreon. We would love it if you would support the show on patreon.com/mtacast. We consider everyone who's a patron part of our listener family, and it means a lot to us that you support the show and that it gives something to you every week. It's also a good way to know that we're doing a good job and that you appreciate what we do and that you want us to do more of it. We have rewards for every single level of donation, as well as at our website, magicallyamateuring.com. Come buy us a t-shirt. Pretty soon we're going to have new sizes up there, as well as playmats for sale.
Sweet.
So get in on the ground floor if you want to look cool for the next GP you attend. Get a good luck high five shirt, and chances are you'll be the coolest cat there at the GP. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, man.
That's what I think.
Remember, if you're at GP Vancouver, please come say hi.
Yeah.
I'll be the person with purple hair, probably dressed like a jazzercising grandpa.
I'm gonna die. I've never heard you say that about yourself.
What? I believe, like, that's one of my styles. I think across my spectrum of styles, it's definitely one of them that I fall into.
I really need you to accurately describe my style right now.
Oh my god. No, you need to let me think about it.
Okay, think about it for next time.
Okay, I will. Don't worry, I will come up with a descriptor
for
your
style.
Okay,
because that was just like so on the nose that I just loved it. I just loved it.
Thank you.
Follow us on Twitter at MTACast. We just surpassed 5,000 followers. So thanks to everybody who's given us those follows.
Yeah.
Come and join the party, everyone.
Absolutely.
We're also on Facebook. If that's more your jam, facebook.com/MTACast. Come and see us post there. Post your comments on our stuff. We look at it.
Mm-hmm. Send us a message.
Cool.
Send us an email.
MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
You can find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm Horny_Unicorny.
We will also be, or Maria will be participating in the Streamer Showdown.
Yes.
At the end of this week.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Yeah.
So check that out. 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's going to be super sweet.
Yeah, I'm real excited.
As you should be.
Thanks.
NP.
NP. Everybody out there, have a great week. And remember to smile. And also remember to
frown
once in a while.